This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Illinois has a state budget. Lawmakers passed the $55.2 billion package over the weekend, but they didn't leave a lot of wiggle room. The final vote came in just 7 minutes before the midnight deadline on Saturday. Lawmakers also failed to pass a bill to fund mass transit and didn't touch a proposal for state funding for a Bears stadium, though they did pass a number of other measures. So, what does this all mean for you? We talked with WBEZ Statehouse reporter Alex Degman. He joined us from Springfield. And Mitchell Armantrout, Chicago Sun-Times government and politics reporter who just got back from Springfield, joined us in studio. We began with budget details. Here's Alex.
Well, it's a pretty good cocktail of increases on taxes, fees, and old money that they're going after, basically. Let's start with the taxes on smokers. The tobacco tax is being increased to make sure that if you buy cigarettes or if you buy vape cartridges, you're going to get charged the same tax rate. And that goes for cigars and other traditional smokables, too. Gamblers are going to get hit a little bit, too, but less gamblers themselves and more the companies that serve them, like DraftKings and FanDuel. The proposal in the budget puts a 25-cent per bet tax on sports betting up to $20 million annual revenue, and 50 cent per bet if that revenue exceeds $20 million. There's also a tax amnesty program that they're going to put in place. They think that they can get hundreds of million dollars of overdue taxes that the state's owed by asking people to pay up and incentivizing them to do so. They're also trying to collect past assessments from hospitals and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there are also some budget cuts. We want to talk about $400 million in cuts to state agencies overall. And that does include the department that runs the health care benefit for immigrant adults and immigrant seniors program. They did end up cutting that program, and it was pretty controversial. It pulls coverage for 33,000 people overall in Illinois who do not have legal status. And most of those are in Cook County. About 22,000 people in Cook County were covered by this.
Mm. So I hear a lot of taxes on vices, Mitch. The governor did say that the budget wouldn't have broad-based taxes. So would you say that this is a win for him on that front, at least?
I guess it depends on how you define broad-based. I think that's a very broad
it's term. It's a broad term.
That he
exactly.
used on purpose. You know, if you ask people who enjoy nicotine or who like to place a bet every now and then, they would sure call that broad. You know, obviously these aren't things that apply to the entire population. And that's what the governor can take away from this. You know, he didn't raise the sales tax. That was kind of off limits, mm-hmm. he said. But yeah, as far as folks who do things, you know, they call them sin taxes for a reason. And, you know, this is kind of the well that Democratic leaders have gone to a lot over the last few years. Sportsbooks were hit with a huge new graduated tax system last year. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of hit with this new per tax or per wager tax in the final hours
right.
of the session. It really caught them off guard. You know, it's a booming industry and we're still kind of waiting to see how big it gets. And
yeah.
until it sort of plateaus, which it hasn't, I think you're going to see members of the General Assembly keep on going back for more.
Mm-hmm. And this vote was just before midnight, Alex, as I alluded to earlier, which wasn't quite as chaotic as last year, but that's, to me, still cutting it pretty close. Why did things go so late?
I think it really depends on who you ask that question. My cynical answer is time management. Every single year, it seems like I go into the Capitol, and I think that we're going to see like a steady stream of bills, a steady stream of business, but that just doesn't happen. And I think part of that might just be because they're deadline oriented. I'm a very deadline-oriented person. I usually can't get work done unless there's somebody breathing down my neck, and I think there's some of that. But I also think that there's a lot going on behind closed doors that we're just not privy to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it takes to craft a transit bill. I don't know what it takes to craft a budget. I've never been in those conversations,
true,
unfortunately. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of, and then there's also procrastination. I mean, how many days, if we cover the legislature, are we just kind of sitting around in February, March, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday goes by, nothing gets done, and then all of a sudden it's May, and we're seeing these gigantic 800 bills drop with 2 days left. It's like, well, you know, is it time management? I guess we'll never really know.
Yeah. You mentioned that the cuts for healthcare for immigrants, how contentious were those cuts?
Behind the scenes, they seem to be pretty contentious, because as you're having conversations with these folks in the run-up to the budget vote, they're doing whatever they can to, you know, put their voice behind it. And some of the key players that I talked to, for example, State Senator Graciela Guzman. She's a new state senator from the north side of Chicago. And a lot of the way that she came up to this position was in part due to her work on healthcare benefits for immigrant adults and seniors. Mm. And, you know, I would sit in her office and she'd tell me these stories about how her constituents are literally surviving because of this program. And she has to go look them in the face and tell them, you know, we just couldn't get it done. But when it came time to vote, people like Graciela Guzman, Norma Hernandez over in the House, who's the chair of the House Latino Caucus, they voted for the budget. The budget didn't get total buy-in from Democrats, but it did get buy-in from some people who I wasn't necessarily expecting.
Interesting.
So, yes, it did cause some consternation, but as far as how it affected the overall vote, I don't know that it did.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, Mitch, because, yeah, that Democratic supermajority in Springfield, it leaves things, you know, very interestingly. I want to play first, though, what State Rep John Cabello, who's assistant Republican leader, had to say. He represents an area that's north and west of Rockford.
There is so much pork in here, and none of it is in any of these folks' districts here. Their taxpayers are paying for this, and they get nothing except another almost billion-dollar tax increase placed on them.
Does he have a point, Mitch? And sorry, the reference to pork, what is he talking about?
Pork barrel spending. It's a phrase I'm sure a lot of folks are familiar with, just in terms of politicians packing special projects into a budget and making sure that their constituents see some success that is going to benefit the politicians on the back end. And, you know, that's another very broad term. There are projects, there's thousands of different projects in this budget, that some of them, you know, ranging from tens of thousands of dollars to tens of millions of dollars. And sure, you can make an argument that, you know, Speaker Chris Welch, the school, the high school that he was previously served as the board of, chair of the board back in the day, they're getting a $40 million new athletic facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't mean that that school district doesn't need a new athletic facility, but I think there's plenty of Republicans who will point to that and say, wow, there's a big old steaming pile of pork.
Got it. Here's the thing, Alex. We didn't get a big transit bill to avoid that big transit funding cliff. Remind us what's at stake here.
Yeah, the transit agencies in the Chicago area are warning of basically doomsday. I think they called it a doomsday scenario at one point. 40% service cuts across the region, including massive layoffs. We're talking about shuttered L stations, congestion from the fact that there aren't enough buses to take people around, no Metra trains outside of rush hours on some lines. Like, we're talking about major service cuts here that they were warning of. And this is all happening because the agencies and the RTA are running out of the federal relief money that came from the coronavirus pandemic. There's been a lot of federal help to try to boost up these public transit systems to try to get ridership and service levels back to where they were pre-COVID. You know, obviously the return to office challenges notwithstanding, but at the same time, they're trying to make improvements. They're trying to increase schedules. They're trying to improve safety. So as they're trying to do all that, money's really tight. Now, they said they needed at least $771 million to maintain what they have now, but they wanted $1.5 billion.
Here's what Governor Pritzker had to say about lawmakers not getting to transit over the weekend.
The fact is that we need to address transit funding as fast as possible, and no doubt the legislators will be meeting over the course of the summer.
So weren't they working on this for months, Mitch? I'm still confused as to what happened here.
They've been talking about this for about 3 years now.
Right. I mean,
this is a situation that's, you know, folks have seen coming a long way down the track, so to speak. And I think this gets back to what Alex said earlier. This is a legislative body that responds well to a hard deadline. And if you ask folks at the CTA, Metro, and PACE, they say that the deadline is getting here because they're going to have to, you know, start thinking about their next year budgets and laying off people and cutting service to prepare for the money that runs out next year. But it gets a little squishy when you say it's not like, you know, $770 million it's just going to, that deficit hits, you know, on New Year's Day, you know. So we'll see exactly how far lawmakers push this. This is obviously something they're going to be talking about all summer and into the fall. The veto session happens later in the fall, still up in the air if they'll have to return to Springfield before then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just a matter of getting lawmakers to sort of feel that sense of urgency.
Yeah. And on the timing piece of this, Alex, I mean, how fast do they need to act to avoid maybe a worst case scenario, like lines being cut or thousands of layoffs?
Yeah, I mean, the transit agencies said they really wanted funding certainty by June 1st because this is when they start planning their budgets and their services for the next year. And if they don't have funding certainty when they start to need to plan their budgets, well, then they need to plan for what they know they have. And they say that this is a process that's going to go from now until the end of the calendar year, because if I remember right, Mitch, you may have to back me up on this, but the transit agencies, their fiscal year starts, it runs alongside the calendar year, January to December. And that, like, really is, that's the deadline. That's what lawmakers, I think that's what lawmakers are thinking. Mm-hmm. That is the deadline. So as it's like Mary Dixon and I were talking about earlier this morning, nothing in Springfield is ever really dead. So they do have a lot of work to do this summer. We just don't know when they're coming back yet, because they will come back for what's called their fall veto session, but that isn't probably going to get scheduled for another few months.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets back to the sort of the crux of the disagreement in Springfield, even among Democrats, especially among Democrats, I should say, between the House and the Senate. You know, everyone agrees that these agencies need reform. There was largely agreement on the structure of this new Northern Illinois Transportation Authority that would govern the agencies.
Right.
You know, there was obviously some folks who didn't agree with the exact structure of it, but you know, it kind of comes down to whether or not you fund that first, you know, at the same time, or whether you reform the governance and talk about the funding later, which was the approach that House Democrats wanted to take. The bill that ended up sort of stalling out had the funding attached, which was bankrolled by what we talked about earlier, a very broad-based tax, a $1.50 fee on deliveries, which, you know, millions of people would immediately notice that.
Let's move on to the Bears Stadium, Alex. No dice, right? At least so far.
Well, yeah, at least so far. Conversations I was having really up until a few hours before the May 31st deadline led me to believe that maybe we might see something drop. So there is work going on, not necessarily a bill to build a new stadium, but bills that might help the Bears in that endeavor. For example, there's I don't have the language right in front of me, but there's a bill that's being worked on by a few suburban Democrats that would offer new statewide parameters if somebody like the Bears, like a mega corporation, wanted to come in and build a mega project like that, like a mega project that's worth over $500 million. How can they, if they wanted to do that, how would they be able to negotiate with the local taxing bodies on what taxes they pay and things like that? How does infrastructure work around the stadium? Who pays for that and things like that? So there are things that are in the works, but as far as direct funding, I still don't think there's going to be any direct state funding for the Bears anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. There's some bills that are still waiting on a signature from Pritzker, including Senate Bill 1491. Interesting. Therapy dogs for crisis response. Now, our producer spoke with Susan Burrow, who's a program coordinator of Rainbow Animal Assisted Therapy in Chicago. The organization works with everyone from police departments to hospitals, and they provide therapy dogs for people who are in crisis. Here's a little bit of what Susan had to say about the impact of this one.
Those interactions can help center them and give them wellness. And we know if just petting the dog, just sitting there with the dog, doing what we call comfort work, the benefits can last up to 24 hours.
More bills that are on Pritzker's desk, the Safe Gun Storage Act, which requires owners to keep guns in a locked box whenever someone under 18 could get their hands on it. Where do we think that'll
That's a bill that Governor Len. Pritzker is expected to sign pretty short order.
Okay.
And kind of a sort of a, I guess, the common sense sort of legislation that Democrats would definitely fall in line with. And, you know, the current restrictions basically put that threshold at 14 years old if a gun owner leaves a gun improperly stored around someone that age or younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could face pretty hefty fines. But this really stiffens those penalties, creates a misdemeanor criminal charge, and folks could face fines tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been waiting for this one, right? Something else on his desk, Alex, Senate Bill 1563. This one has to do with squatters. It would make it easier for police to basically remove squatters from someone's home. Does it seem likely that he'll sign this one?
Yeah, I haven't really heard a whole lot of chatter about this one, but obviously this is an issue that has become a little bit more front of mind since the pandemic. And while while Democrats are typically on the side of renters in these situations, you know, squatters fall into a different category. So I don't think that, that Governor Pritzker would have any issue signing this one.
And there's also Dylan's Law. This is named after Dylan Miller, who tragically died back in 2014. This was after an allergic reaction to a bee sting. This Dylan's Law would allow people who are trained to carry and administer epinephrine to those who are having an allergic reaction. Anything else we should know about that one, Alex?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward bill. And again, like Mitch was saying earlier about common sense laws that Democrats seem to support, this is another one of those areas where when it comes to taking care of people who might be having reactions, we see this with EpiPens, we see this with Narcan. So, yeah, this looks like a pretty easy sign for Governor Pritzker.
So then what's next, Mitch?
I think the biggest thing everyone's going to be watching is when are lawmakers going to get back together to talk about the transit fiscal cliff. I think we're going to see a lot of these transit agencies holding public hearings in the months ahead just to really get that message out there about the fiscal doomsday that they say is coming up really quick. And I think sort of the looming hanging over all those discussions is the fact that a lot of candidates are going to be circulating petitions later in the summer.
Anything to add, Alex?
Boy, it's been a long week and a half. I think I'm ready to go take a nap.
Oh, man, I heard. I can hear the exhaustion in your voice. All right. WBEZ State House reporter Alex Degman is taking a rest. Much needed. And Mitchell Armerchout, Chicago Sun-Times government and politics reporter. Thank you both so much.
You bet.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. On Reset, we have conversations with Chicago reporters to make sense of the things that you need to know. So to never miss an episode, hit subscribe or find us at wbez.org/reset. Thanks so much for listening. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.